might our lives look differently if we reprioritized being authentic? My name is Dawn Culp. I'm a certified hypnotherapist, Reiki master teacher, meditation coach, and owner of the Zen Room in Gilroy, California. You can also find us online at www.thezenroom.net. And today we're going to be talking about reprioritizing authenticity. Hi, everyone, and thanks for tuning in to another episode of The Zen Room. So, just to put a timestamp on this, because I never know when somebody might be listening to these podcasts, today is September 1st. I live in California, United States of America, and we are still in the middle of our COVID event. So for any of you who wonder why my podcasts haven't been as regular as before, it is because I am very, 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 very busy helping people walk through the fire. For some people, it's, taking the next step on their journey. But I've said it before and I'll say it again here. COVID is nothing if it's not an accelerator, which is basically, if it was working before, it really isn't working now. Another quote that I've said probably 10 times a week since this all started, what was once a splinter is now a log and it won't be ignored anymore. So COVID is really having us take a look at our lives, what is working, what is not working, and making adjustments, like it or not. So for some people, it feels like walking through the fire, and I've had the distinct honor of helping people to do that. But in order to say yes to them, I've been having to say no to my podcasts, and that's why it's been a while since you've heard from me. But here I am on a Tuesday morning, and I had a break and I had a good meditation this morning, and I wanted to make sure that I checked in with all of you and tossed out this little nugget, and I hope that you find it beneficial. So, one of the things that I would love for you to do, if you feel like you want to get a little bit more of a deep dive in around this conversation around authenticity. So on March 22nd in 2018, I actually did a podcast called The Power of Authenticity. You might be interested in going back and listening to that again. Once again, the date on that is March 22nd, 2018. And the name of it is The Power of Authenticity. I think that this will be a standalone podcast. It'll make sense on its own, but if it really resonates with you, you might want to go back and listen to that one as well. So, like we've done many times before in podcasts, one of the ways that I like to start off is to get us all on the same page with a definition. So I actually looked up the word authentic, Merriam-Webster, and they had a few different definitions for the word authentic. Authentic being an adjective. One of the first definitions was that really spoke to me was true to one's own personality, spirit, or character. Another definition was not false or imitation. And the one that I really want to, that I'll be pointing back to a lot through this podcast is worthy of acceptance or belief as conforming to or based on fact, or conforming to an original so as to reproduce essential features. The little phrase that really popped out at me is worthy of acceptance. So when you think about somebody goes to an art gallery and they buy a beautiful piece of artwork, they're going to hopefully, if the art dealer is reputable, they're going to hopefully get a certificate of authenticity, or a COA, basically saying if you have paid an extensive amount of money for a piece of artwork, that it is actually certified that yes, indeed, the artist that you think painted it actually did paint it. And the certificate of authenticity that is given to you, assuming that it is an authentic certificate of authenticity and not a faked one, or not a photoshopped one, is that the buyer is guaranteeing, is being guaranteed that they are getting a genuine article, right? So if you've ever been up in the middle of the night watching infomercials, and maybe you bought some gold coins, and they come with a hopefully an authentic certificate of authenticity. Basically, you want to know that those are genuine articles, that those are the real deal, that you are not buying some fake gold-plated or gold-simulated coins, right? You want to know that those are genuine articles. You want a certificate of authenticity. So we know when we're purchasing something like artwork or coins or a one-of-a-kind fill-in-the-blank, we want to be guaranteed that we are getting the genuine article. Why? Well, the first thing that most of you are going to say is, well, because the value is going to be different. It's the difference between a real Gucci bag and a knockoff Gucci bag, right? Like the value of a real one, without getting into, you know, into specifics as to why that would matter, you know, there's a difference between real or authentic or genuine versus knocked off or fake or plagiarized, right? So we know it when we are talking about purchasing something. So let's think about that in terms of our own selves. So it was interesting. I know that there are many, many people out there who have Facebook pages or Instagram pages and business entities online, right? So for a while there, and I'm sure it's still happening, but for a while there, it was very popular to have bought or paid for or fake friends, followers, whatnot. The difference between, you know, paying $1,000 for some automated system to go out there and farm fake people in some country, or fake followers or fake likes. Why would somebody do that? If you were to ask, why would anybody pay $1,000 to have fake followers or fake likes? And the answer is usually because it gives them immediate street credibility. If somebody were to go onto that website and say, oh, wow, this person's really popular. Wow, this person's really famous. Wow, this person's really an influencer. They have 5,000 followers versus 200 followers. So the idea behind the marketing scheme or idea is if you have fake people following you, it will encourage others to follow you, kind of like a Pied Piper thing. And I don't have an opinion about that. I don't have a judgment about that. But there's a difference between real likes and fake likes. If all you have are fake likes and you're trying to sell material to your audience, they're not going to be the ones to buy it because they're not real people. So, but I understand the perception. It's the perception. And that's actually a very, very, very key word when we're talking about authenticity. Why would somebody buy a car that is 10 times beyond their budget? Most likely one of the reasons is going to be because of how it looks to others. You know, if you're a real estate agent or if you are a bigwig Wall Street, right? There's a difference between buying a car that you can afford versus buying a car that you can't afford just because of how it looks. Okay, so as we are starting to wrap our heads around this idea of authenticity, I actually did a little bit of digging, and I found an article, scientificamerica.com, and I thought this was really, really interesting. Again, I don't have an opinion about this one way or another, but there was, it kind of made me go, oh, that's interesting. There was a research study that was done by three scientists Francesca Gino of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, Michael Norton of Harvard Business School, and Dan Ierley of Duke University. And they have been exploring in the laboratory the powers and pitfalls, according to this article, that's what they called it, the powers and pitfalls of fake adornment. So what is fake adornment? That's going to be your knockoff bags, your knockoff glasses, your knockoff shoes, your knockoff, your knockoff everything. Your fake, your labels, your all of that kind of stuff. So I'm just going to read from this article from Scientific America, scientificamerican.com. In one study, the scientists recruited a large sample of young women and had them wear pricey chlo, C-H-L-O, sunglasses. The glasses were the real thing, but half the women thought they were wearing knockoffs. The researchers wanted to see if wearing counterfeit shades, a form of dishonesty, might make the women act dishonestly in other ways. They asked the women to perform a couple of tasks that presented opportunities for lying and cheating. In one, the women worked on a complicated set of mathematical puzzles, a task that they could not possibly complete in the time allowed. When their allotted time was up, the women were told to score themselves on the honor system and to take money for each correct score. Unbeknownst to them, the scientists were monitoring both their work and their scoring. And guess what? The women who thought they were wearing the fake chlo shades cheated more. Considerably more. Fully 70% inflated their performance when they thought nobody was checking on them, and in fact stole cash from the coffer. By comparison, only 30% of the group who knew they were authentic chlos cheated. So according to this researcher, some of the inferences that maybe the scientists were making, the scientists wanted to put the women through a different drill, asking them to indicate whether there were more dots on the right or left side of their screen. Choosing left earned them half of a cent, and choosing right earned them 5 cents, regardless of whether their answer was correct. In other words, the task forced a choice between a correct answer and the more profitable answer. And again, the women wearing what they believed to be knockoffs pocketed the petty cash, much more often than did their peers who knew they were authentic shades. So noticeably, the women wearing supposedly counterfeit goods cheated, even though the fake sunglasses were randomly handed out, suggesting that it was not something about their self-image going into that study that led them to cheat. To the contrary, it was the very act of wearing the so-called knockoffs that was triggering the dishonesty. So the study goes on. This is bizarre and disturbing, but it gets worse. The psychologist wondered whether illusionary imaging making might not only corrupt personal ethics, but also lead to a cynical attitude towards other people. In other words, if wearing counterfeit stuff makes people feel inauthentic and behave unethically, might they see others as phony and unethical too? To test this, the scientists again handed out genuine and supposed counterfeit chlo shades, but this time they had the volunteers complete a survey about people they knew. Would these people use an express line with too many groceries? Would they pad expense reports, take home office supplies? There were also more elaborate scenarios involving business ethics and a series of statements that the volunteers had to rate as likely to be true or more likely to be a lie. The idea was that all the answers taken together would characterize each volunteer as having a generally positive view of others or a cynical one. And the result was cynical without question. Compared to volunteers who were wearing the authentic sunglasses, those who had been told they were wearing knockoffs saw other people as more dishonest, less truthful, and more likely to act unethically in business dealings. So then the question going on in this study, ironically, as the scientists reported in the May issue of Psychological Science, wearing counterfeit glasses not only fails to bolster our ego and self-image the way that we hope, it actually undermines our internal sense of authenticity. Faking it makes us feel like phonies and cheaters on the inside, and this alienated counterfeit self leads to cheating and cynicism in the world. Now, this was a study done. And these were inferences or parallels that were being drawn from this study. I wouldn't by any stretch of the imagination say that this is going to be a clear cut. Hey, all people who wear knockoffs are cynical, and all people who wear knockoffs are dishonest. No, but I think what it does is it kind of makes you think. You know, my husband likes to say, and I know he didn't originate this, I have to actually go in and look to see who did the quote, but how you do anything is how you do everything. So if we have a tendency to be a little bit more concerned with how the world views us, concerned with how we appear in the world, concerned with other people's opinions of us, if that is a priority, then where else might that show up in our lives? I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with getting your hair done. I get my hair done. You know, I color my hair, 3 times a year. 3 times a year I will get some little highlights put in to cover the gray. Is that an inauthentic action for me to take? I would say, well, I am pretending to have a different hair color than I actually do. So if I was being honest, yes, I am trying to pretend that I have a different hair color than I have. Now, do I expect everybody to go gray tomorrow? Nope. Do I applaud people who own it? Yep. Am I one of those people who owns it yet? Nope. No, I'm not. I enjoy coloring my hair. I enjoy putting makeup on my face. I enjoy doing things that clearly make me look different than my actual authentic out-of-the-box self. I am not my stock version. I make adjustments. I do. So I'm not saying that there's a right or a wrong. What I would ask for everybody to do for themselves is, where might it be getting in the way? Right? So if I was spending $2,000 a month on my hair and I couldn't afford to put food in my mouth, I have to relook at that. If I was spending $5,000 on clothes and shoes, at that point, knock off or not, but I was behind in my rent or mortgage, I'd have to look at that. So where is it that if you're finding yourself being inauthentic, where is it getting in your way? Where is it getting you into trouble? So I'm going to move off of stuff, you know, hair, glasses, boots, bags, cars. I'm going to get off of the stuff and actually start to move into choices, job, life choices, career moves, that sort of thing. Because I feel like one of the things that COVID has done is it's really helped us to look at who we are at our core and what's working for us or not in our lives. So let's just imagine that you go back to the day that you were born. And let's imagine somewhere along the line, you started getting a sense of who you were innately. Innately, you can look at people, and sometimes it's so flippin' obvious. You know, you set a 4 or 5-year-old down in front of a piano, and they just start playing the piano with no lessons. You're like, okay, clearly, piano is in your bag of gifts. You were born with a bag. We are all born with a bag of gifts, by the way, and our job is to unpack those gifts one by one along the way. But some people, it's just obvious. You set a 5-year-old down in front of a piano and they're just playing the piano and you're like, holy smokes, this guy was born to play the piano. Or a young child just has a natural knack for dancing or a natural knack for wanting to care for another person. They're just natural, like little nurses in the making or doctors in the making. Like they want to help. They want to be of assistance. They want to make you feel better. Okay. So somewhere, or you just have a natural tendency to gravitate towards animals. You always have. Oh my gosh, I'm just such an animal lover. I always have been an animal lover, right? Well, it's pretty obvious for a lot of people where those tendencies are from a very young age. But it doesn't take long for the world to beat it out of us. So, you know, if you were to say, God, everything in my bones wants me to go off and do ABC, but society tells you it's a bad idea. Society scares the pants off of you into saying you're never going to make any money doing that. You know, there's a lot of things that we are programmed to do, or things that are programmed out of us, that we start to veer away from our very authentic selves, sometimes pretty early in life. So one of the things, if we look back and say, all right, so let's just imagine that everybody's going to conform a little bit. I think it's just natural to want to be in harmony with your environment. It is natural to want to kind of, I mean, that's why we all, you know, pick our game colors and go to a football game with our game colors, because we like being part of something big. We like being part of a collective. We like harmonizing with the group. That's where conforming, even why conforming is even a thing. And that's fun and that's exciting. And I love wearing, you know, my orange and black to a Giants game. And I love being a part of that collective bigness. But if you find yourself conforming everywhere all the time, including how you're living your life, including how you are contributing to society through your job or volunteer work or whatnot, that's where it might start to get you into trouble. So I have a list of a few things where if you find that your authenticity is being dampened, or if you're conforming ways are just getting a little bit too strong, if it starts to stunt your growth, you want to look at it. If you start to get lost or lose your way, you want to look at it. Or if you find yourself deprioritizing very important things in order to conform, you want to look at it. So, you know, it feels good to some people to get the confirmation of loved ones. I remember before I was doing all of this work, I had a very normal, and I'll put normal, quote unquote, normal job in Silicon Valley. If you live in the Bay Area, chances are you've worked for Silicon Valley. I worked for Silicon Valley for 15 years of my life. Business analytics and business analytics, finance, that whole numbers. It was very, very much loving numbers and the stories that numbers had to tell. And that's still a very, very big part of me, but it wasn't everything and it wasn't enough. So I found myself wanting to reach back into, or reach in, maybe I'll say reach way inside to say, all right, what are my natural tendencies? Well, my natural tendencies are to mentor. My natural tendencies are to teach. My natural tendencies are to listen to the quiet, still voice inside of myself as opposed to the loud, loud voice of the world. And let me tell you, during COVID, the world got really loud, really, really loud. So I have really been working with people to say, I know what the world wants you to do, but what do you want to do? Like, what is your heart calling you to do? I know that the world wants you to be afraid of fill in the blank, but are you afraid? Is it your fear that you are feeling, or is it the fear of the world that you're tapping into? All right, so I know where my natural tendencies are, and I just started to find myself tiptoeing in that direction. I didn't make any radical changes. I didn't quit my job, but I did start taking some courses and I did start meditating and I did start educating myself. And then I just found that eventually, as I was tiptoeing my way down the path consistently, you know, it was definitely, hey, I'm going to continue to read these books and take these classes and meditate and do all of these things because time is a very real thing, and I wanted to make sure that I wasn't putting myself on the back burner But I also didn't have to like, okay, I'm quitting this job, even though I don't know where I'm gonna what I'm gonna do tomorrow. No, it was a slow and steady transition out of one job and into the Zen Room world. And the Zen Room world is still changing and morphing and growing and expanding in ways that I can't even fathom at this point. I just know that I keep putting one foot in front of the other and I keep walking towards my authentic self. So, some of you are going to listen to this podcast and go, "Oh my God, this she is literally speaking to me right now." And some of you are going to listen to this podcast and go, "Yep, I've already done that and I'm well on my way and I get it." And some people are not going to be ready to hear this message yet because stepping out of the conformed world or out of the I told you what's best for you world and into the I'm going to listen to myself world is a very scary thing. So what I would say is put your toe in the water and then put your foot in the water and then put your other foot in the water. And pretty soon what you will find is it's not as scary as you think. The world will get over it. Or they won't. But at the end of the day, if they don't, you're still walking your path. One of the jokes that I always make is think of somebody fantastic in your world. For you, that might be Martin Luther King. For you, that might be Oprah. For you, that might be a president of the United States. For you, that might be a person in history that really made a difference in history. For you, that might be some great doctor who discovered this great therapeutic that changed everything. Think of somebody who was great, grand, did something amazing, and ask yourself, what would the world look like if they decided to just do something easy and simple and actually not at all authentic to who they were? The world would miss out. Right? So if you were, you know, Madame Curie, what if Madame Curie just decided to, you know, not do anything and therefore never make the great medical discoveries that she made? Well, the history would be forever changed moving forward. There's nothing wrong because people say, oh, well, does that mean I have to be the greatest doctor in the world? Oh, does that mean that I have to be the great, you know, the greatest historian in the world? Does that mean that I have to be the greatest president in the world? Does that mean I have to be the greatest fill in the blank in the world? No, because the world is needing all kinds of talent for all kinds of things. I don't care if it's somebody who is painting your house. You can tell the difference between a guy who loves to paint houses versus somebody who's just doing it for the money. The guy who finds, time and attention in masking all the little corners and wants to do a good job and actually really enjoys painting homes. And, you know, one could say he was born to do it. That is the guy you want to pay to paint your house, not the guy who actually hates painting houses and is doing it just for the money. That guy's not going to do as nice of a job. So it doesn't mean that you have to be the next Madame, you know, Marie Curie. It doesn't mean that you need to be the next guy who cures cancer. It doesn't mean that you need to be the next, you know, prima ballerina for the Russian ballet. It means that whoever you were put on this earth to be, that you go and be that person. Not only because your heart will feel full, but because the world really needs that kind of excellence in the world. Excellent ball players, excellent house painters, excellent roofers, excellent, it's the person that you, when you go down to the city to pay your water bill, the person who's really, really good at what they do and they really enjoy what they do and they're really good at, you know, the organization and, you know, putting together all the right documents, man, you are always going to wait in line for her. You're always going to wait in line for the guy who really does a good job because they're going to have the answers that you need. They're going to be able to push your paperwork through in the perfect way. They're really good at what they do. And somebody has to do every job here. So why not line up all of the jobs with the people who actually enjoy doing them? And imagine living in that world. It would be amazing. So one of the things to do, for those of you who are like, I have no idea, I've lost my way so long ago that I don't even know who I am authentically anymore. One of the things that I would encourage you to do is start meditating. And in those meditations, just ask for guidance. In those meditations, you know, there's a lot of guided meditations that you can do to reconnect with that core person inside of you, that very authentic person inside of you who knows who you are and what your gifts are. And then when you start to do your, when you start to go out in the world and do your thing, just sort of keep in mind, build your business authentically. Build your business organically. You be good and they will find you. You be so good that, you know, what did Steve Martin say? Don't worry about being big. Worry about being good. Be so good they can't ignore you. That's a thing that the culture, I think, and hopefully we might be shifting away from a little bit, is you want, people want to appear so big. They want to appear so important. They want to appear so famous that they will take all of these inauthentic steps to have the appearance of being big without actually being good in the first place. Be so good they can't ignore you. Be so good at what you do. Hone your craft. Practice. Exercise those muscles. Do whatever it is. Be so good that they will find you no matter what. You won't have to spend a bunch of money advertising. You just won't. And there's going to be people who are going to listen to this and say, Don, that is the worst marketing advice you could ever give somebody. I would say, then this message doesn't, you know, resonate with you. I would say, then don't take it and put it on your plate. And that's okay. But there's something very powerful in authenticity. There's something very powerful. I swear people can smell it from 20 miles away. It's the real deal. The other thing that I would like you to do, because authenticity or truth is very much a fifth energy center home. So in the, if you look at the seven major energy centers, some people call them chakras, with the root being number one, the sacral being number two, solar plexus being number three, the heart is number four. Authenticity, trust, expression is all number five. That's the throat. It's the throat chakra. Do things to assist your throat chakra. So what are some things that you can do right now to assist your throat chakra? Well, if your throat energy center in the throat is your voice. Not the voice of the world, but your voice. The voice of your heart. Your true, authentic, open heart. If you're following that heart and you are expressing what's on your heart, it is the throat chakra that does that. Do things to exercise it. One thing that you can do is speak your truth. Doesn't mean that you all of a sudden have to go off and be some, you know, opinionated, over-opinionated, judgmental. Well, you know what I have to say about you? I'll tell you what I have to say about you. That's not what I'm talking about, using your voice. You know, use your voice. What do you currently want? What does your heart want? And then express it in a loving way. By the way, and this will be another podcast, you can be loving and still have boundaries. Just saying, but that's a whole other topic. Sometimes saying yes to yourself means saying no to something else. And that might mean disappointing other people who really expect you to behave a certain way, because all of a sudden you used to conform with the group and now you're starting to break away and you're starting to be more authentic, which means you're going to start disappointing the mainstream, or you're going to start disappointing your clique. And they're not going to know what to do with you. It's okay. They will figure it out. That's not your job. They will figure out who this new you that is emerging, this authentic you who is emerging. They'll figure out what to do with that or not. But staying for them is not the right thing to do. If being your authentic self means that you might disappoint a couple people, that is going to take some practice. But I would recommend, highly recommend practicing, because the alternative is you stay living a very inauthentic life. So, what can you do? Throat. Start singing in the car. Using your throat, even if you're not the best singer in the world, according to you, or what, start singing in the shower. Start singing when you're alone. Start exercising that throat chakra. If you really don't want to do something, start saying, no, that doesn't work for me. Thanks for the invitation, but I'm going to pass. Or somebody asks you to do something for them that you really don't want to do, say, oh, you know what? I'm going to pass on that one. It was funny. I had a client come to me last week, and she's really been working on her throat chakra, and she struggles with it, but you know, she's making strides and it's really, really good. And I said, what is something that you've said yes to recently that you really, in your heart of hearts, wanted to say no to? And she said, well, somebody asked me to do them a favor that I really didn't want to do. And I said, okay, well, was it like a life and death kind of a favor, or was it a silly, like, you know, to give me the circumstance? She says, no, they just wanted me to go to the store for them and pick something up for them. And I said, was it because they couldn't get to the store? She said, no, they didn't want to go. They wanted me to go for them. And I said, okay, so somebody, not a life or death situation, has asked you to do something that you didn't want to do, but you did it anyway. And I said, why did you do it anyway? And she says, well, just to keep the peace. I wasn't doing anything either. So I figured, well, whatever. And I said, so that person got to stay home and watch TV while you went and ran an errand for them. And she said, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I said, did you want to run that errand for them? And she said, no. And I said, okay. That would have been an excellent opportunity to exercise the throat chakra in saying, you know what, if I was going to the store already, I'd be happy to pick it up, but I'm not going to make a special trip, so because I've got other things that I need to do. Sorry, I can't squeeze that in today. You don't have to be a jerk. You don't have to be, like I said, shouting obscenities, you lazy butt, you get your boy. You know, it doesn't have to be a whole big tug of war. It could just simply be, oh, you know what? Actually, I'm not going to the store today. If I was, I'd pick it up for you, but I'm not, so I'm gonna have to pass. I said, do that every little throat chakra exercise, a little set boundary exercise, a little say yes to yourself exercise every day, and pretty soon, if you can start saying yes and no to the small things, then you can start saying yes and no to the big things. Going from never exercising your throat chakra to all of a sudden exercising your throat chakra overnight probably is going to be like going from not lifting weights at all to thinking you're going to deadlift 200 pounds. It's too much. You need to work your way up. Start with 5-pound dumbbells, then you'll move to 10-pound dumbbells. Then maybe you'll move to a bar with 10 pounds on either side. You're going to work your way up to a 200-pound deadlift. You're not going to go from never doing it to doing it overnight. Start small. Start saying no to the little things or yes to the little things. And then know that you're going to work your way up. That would be one of my first recommendations. It's easy to do. You'll get really, you know, you'll start to build your muscles, and people are not going to know what to do with it, but they'll get used to it if you start doing it little by little by little. Then as you start to really stand in your very authentic shoes and live in your very authentic skin for the little things, it won't be such a shock to either system, to the world or to yourself, when you start doing bigger decisions, making bigger life changes or choices. It's almost like people are going to see it coming because they've watched you slowly start to evolve over time. A little thing like, hey, let's go see a movie. What do you want to go see? Do you want to go see this movie? Yeah, I really don't want to go see that movie. Actually, no. If you want to go see that movie, that's cool. You go see your movie, I'll go see my movie, and we'll have dinner after. Or, well, if you want to pick this movie, I'll pick the next movie, and we can trade back and forth. Okay, that's a nice compromise. But you're not always the one having to acquiesce to seeing movies that you hate over and over and over and over. That's a little 10-pound dumbbell exercise that you can do. Start exercising your voice. It's a really beautiful thing to do. They're essential oils that are really good for the throat chakra. There are, for those of you who like stones or working with crystals, anything for the throat chakra is going to be good for authenticity and expressing yourself. These are all things that you can do. These are all little tools that you can do. When you're meditating, maybe you just imagine that you're standing in your own throat and you ask your throat, "Throat, what have you been dying to say that I haven't let you?" That's a great question to ask your throat, and then let your throat answer. Okay? The only other point that I want to make before we wrap up this podcast is a lot of times, again, if we look back at that definition that I talked about at the very beginning of this podcast, the definition of authentic, worthy of acceptance is one of the definitions. We are so desperately wanting to feel worthy of acceptance. That means against our own egos and inner critic as well. So what do I mean? Sure, is it would we rather for some people they'd rather please the world rather than please themselves. They'd rather make sure that they're in the good graces of their clique or their group, even if it means going against what their heart wants them to do. But sometimes people get in their own way. Sometimes their own inner critic tries to convince them, oh, you can't do that. You can't step out on your own path. You can't do that. You have responsibilities. You can't do that. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not young enough. You're not bright enough. You're not blah, blah, blah. In those meditations, when you are either asking your throat what it wants to say, or you've taken, many people listening to this podcast have already taken my Tapping Into Your Intuition class. I have an online version for those of you who are not in the area or who, because of COVID, maybe you're just more comfortable doing all things online or whatever. There is an online Tapping Into Your Intuition class that I offer. And if you type in the word love, L-O-V-E, at checkout, you're actually going to get a discount on that class too. So coupon code LOVE, L-O-V-E, and you'll get a discount on the course. But it teaches you to listen to the difference between your inner critic, your inner child, your ego, and your intuition. If your intuition is calling you to go right on your path and your inner critic is convincing you to go left, your intuition wins every time. Even if you have a bad, bad habit of listening to your inner critic, even if you have done it your whole life and it's a hard habit to break, start breaking the habit. If your intuitive voice, that instinct, that thing, that wise, beautiful spirit inside of you is calling you to go right, be strong enough and brave enough and courageous enough to go against your inner critic, because your inner critic is why you're here in the first place. Most likely that's the case. Okay, so again, Tapping Into Your Intuition online course, type in love, L-O-V-E at checkout. You'll get a nice little discount off the class. And do this for you. Here's why. What a shame to come to this earth with a bag of gifts and never unpack them. What a shame to come to this earth, to come to this world, to have this experience knowing you've got a bag of gifts and you never unwrapped one of them or any of them. We all have several. The world will tell you which ones you should wrap or unwrap, but listen to your heart on that one. That's a big, big deal. Okay? All right, everybody. Well, I would like to thank you for listening to this episode of reprioritizing your authenticity, putting it at the top of your list, because, oh man, not only will you feel so much better, the world needs what you have. The world needs what you have desperately. Okay? So, may the force be with you all. I look forward to talking to you again soon, but for now, have a good rest of your day, and I'll talk to you later.